Well, grace and peace be to you many times over as we deepen our own experiences with God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The theme for today is entitled, Things Are Desperate, Give Thanks. And once again, I would like to share with you the gospel reading for today, but this is from the contemporary version called The Message, Supper for 5,000. When Jesus got the news, he slipped away by boat to an out-of-the-way place by himself. The question is, what news did he just receive? Well, a friend of his, actually a relative, had just been killed. He had received word that John the Baptist had died. And of course, I'm sure he was very saddened by that. And so he slipped away by boat to an out-of-the-way place by himself. But unsuccessfully, someone saw him, and the word got around. Soon a lot of people from the nearby villages walked around the lake to where he was. And when he saw them coming, he was overcome with pity and healed their sick. Toward evening, the disciples approached him. "We're out in the country, and it's getting late. Dismiss the people so that they can go to the villages and get some supper." But Jesus said, "There is no need to dismiss them. You give them supper." We can just imagine how the disciples felt at that moment. "All we have are 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they said. Jesus said, "Bring them here." Then he had the people sit on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, lifted his face to heaven in prayer, blessed, broke, and gave the bread to the disciples. The disciples then gave the food to the congregation. They all ate their fill. They gathered 12 baskets of leftovers, and about 5,000 were fed that day. As we begin this message this morning, I'd like you to think about how often God allows things to become desperate. In Scripture, and perhaps even in our own lives, we have the story of Lazarus. Think about how he purposely, for days, actually 4 days beyond, and he waited to go visit Mary and Martha at the death of Lazarus. Why? Well, that gave the body of Lazarus time to decay even further in the grave before he showed up. Think about when he, in the Old Testament, when he allowed the Israelites to be surrounded by the Egyptian army with the sea at their back. And then years later, the Assyrian army was allowed to come beating on Jerusalem's door as they invaded the Promised Land with a very huge army. God wanted the situation to be absolutely desperate. And so today, in our gospel reading, the situation was also getting desperate. It was getting late, and there was a huge crowd who had walked around the Sea of Galilee in order to have Jesus heal their sick and also to hear him speak. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He spent the day healing, and then he also took time to teach. And those who had been just recently healed were sitting at his feet. Their families, I'm sure, were rejoicing in the fact that their loved ones were now healthy. And because of that, they were able to focus more clearly on the words that Jesus was about to share with them. And so Jesus spoke, and he probably spoke for quite a long time. It was so long, in fact, that the disciples began to get a little bit worried. There was going to be a problem coming up. And that problem was the fact that the people were getting hungry. And there were about 5,000 men. Scripture says 5,000 men, not including the women and children. So possibly talking about 10,000 people. We don't really know that number for sure. We do know that there was a great need. The text tells us that when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. I find it fascinating here. The disciples are telling Jesus what to do. And as if he were some sort of high and mighty theologian who had lost track of time and he didn't know what was going on. It was really nice that the people were there. They were soaking up the word of God. But in the minds of the disciples, it was time for them to move on. And they did not want to take on the responsibility of trying to feed all those people and taking care of them. They had already been healed. They'd already been fed with the word of God. For them, that was enough. Why should they have to feed them also? Now, if you think about it, if anybody would have wanted these people gone, it should have been Jesus. The very reason that he had gone to the other side of that lake was to have some time alone in prayer after he had heard about John the Baptist, who had been beheaded by King Herod. But these people wouldn't leave him alone. But we don't find the Lord chasing them away. He wanted them to stay. And that ought to tell us something. That ought to warm every one of our hearts to know that our Lord Jesus will not chase us away either, no matter how desperate we are. So here we have Jesus with all of these people willing to go that extra mile with them. The Lord wasn't done teaching them, but perhaps he wasn't done really teaching the disciples a very important lesson also. He didn't want the people to go hungry, and so he told the disciples to do something that seemed very impossible. They need not go away. You give them something to eat. So the responsibility for feeding these people was put in the hands of the disciples, and he told them to take care of it, even though he knew that there was no way that they could do it. Well, that brings us to the question, well, what do we do when we're given a responsibility that there is no way that we can fulfill it? Well, sometimes we panic. Sometimes we start frantically looking for solutions. Sometimes, guys, we go to our wives and say, you take care of it. Or we start making excuses of why we can't. And then, or maybe we get angry because of the unreal expectations. And finally, some of us, we say, I give up. There's nothing I can do. Well, the disciples knew that there was a young man there that day who had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But in reality, they also knew that wasn't nearly enough to take care of the situation. As far as they were concerned, they really didn't have anything. And I believe the Lord Jesus wanted them to clearly see that. What these guys were forgetting that day was that they had the greatest source and resource that was available to them. Jesus had sent them out on a mission, on their first mission journey by themselves. And they had gone 2 by 2. In Mark, it says, he charged them to take nothing on their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on 2 tunics. Even with seemingly nothing, they had plenty to survive on. So they should have known from that experience that the Lord could handle the situation that they now faced in front of them. But instead, they couldn't think outside of the box. They only thought that the people could be fed from what could be paid for or what somebody else might prepare for them. And it's that kind of thinking sometimes that gets us into trouble also. That kind of thinking makes us want to give up. I mean, I can't give my first fruits. I have too many bills. I don't make what I used to. I can't take this anymore. My boss is overbearing. Not true, Pastor. My coworkers are complete idiots. Not true, Angela. The teachers are too hard on us. Annalisa, who's your teacher this year? Don't you ever say that to her, right? And so what do we say? I quit. Well, we know that we have mouths to feed. We know that we can't pay bills without a job. We know that we have to do our work in school. And so we just can't quit. So maybe it's time for us to think outside the box. You know, as I see this picture, this scene in my mind, I think Jesus was smiling when he made this command to the disciples to feed the crowd. What do you think he saw on their faces? It's probably desperation. What is he thinking? He smiles. Why? Because he likes for all of us to realize how weak we really are, but more importantly, to know that he is powerful, so that we finally are looking outside the box. Who are we looking to? We are looking to him alone. We are looking to our Lord Jesus in faith. You know, in the middle of this impossible situation, what does the Lord do? He says to them, "Bring them here to me." And then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Well, even though there were only these 5 loaves and the 2 fish, Jesus gave thanks, even in that very small looking gift. St. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, chapter 4, "For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and by prayer." Jesus was very thankful in this situation. He knew that this little gift and the impossible situation they were in would give him the opportunity to show his disciples just how giving and powerful he really was. He wanted to prove to them about the kingdom of God and how they would seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and all things would be given to them as well, as also is true for you and me. Think about your own prayer lives. How often do we do that? Before we complain about what we don't have and what we can't do, why don't we take time to thank God for what we do have and what we can do? Those of you, perhaps, who have gone to the dentist recently probably complained when you got that bill. Well, instead of complaining about that bill, why not thank God that there was a dentist there in the first place to take care of that situation? Or how about all of us who complain about paying taxes? Maybe we should be giving thanks to God because we have police officers and firefighters who are there to take care of us and will come to our house if there is a desperate need, or perhaps when we're being attacked. And then he broke the loaves and he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and they were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides the women and children. Notice here how Jesus gets the disciples involved in this situation, this particular miracle. They took an active part in that so that they could participate in the joy of the Lord and to witness firsthand what a miracle this was. What was the purpose behind it? So that they and us could learn to trust in him and to look to him for help in time of need. You notice how he used what he was given and then he multiplied it. He used one boy's generous donation to spread it out to 5,000 people. So something that seemed like a very small donation was blessed by God, and it ended up feeding thousands of people. We never want to say, I can't give much. You know, in the scriptures, Jesus prays the widow's mite, and God can do a lot with a little. And the disciples in our lesson today were shown very firsthand the situation, and that feeding those people, they had plenty. Actually, they had more than enough. So much more that how much was left over? 12 basketfuls. And I thought to myself, well, what in the world are they going to do with 12 basketfuls? Well, how many disciples were there? There were 12. What had they been doing? Probably passing out the food in the first place. So when this was all over, what did they have? Each one of them had a basketful of food, more than they could even use. They were to take care as well as with more than enough, and they were taken care of also. You know, this story also tells us that Jesus does very wonderful things for us spiritually also. He demands us to do the impossible. Don't lust. Don't hate. Turn the other cheek. Give generously. Be willing to forgive, not just once, but again and again and again. And then he tells us how all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags, and we are all unworthy. And he tells us that anything short of perfection earns us damnation. So what can we do? We try, but unfortunately, I'm sure we always fall short. And we may even throw up our hands in disgust. And maybe we get angry. Maybe we even give up. But that's when, my dear friends, I see the Lord smiling upon us. And Jesus gives us the answer. He points to the cross and he says to us, I have done it. If we think it was amazing what Jesus did with those loaves of fish, think about what he did that was so amazing with his one body. That one death is able to stretch over time and eternity, and it covers the entire world's sins. That one resurrection was able to give thousands of believers hope in their own resurrection from the dead. And even today, he is able to take his body and his blood, and he feeds his believers with himself and his forgiveness, not just once, but again and again and again. Who would have thought that this one man would change the entire destiny of so many people? Just as there were 12 baskets full of leftover with more than enough to feed everyone, our Lord Jesus died for the whole world. Nobody can claim while they're in hell that Jesus didn't pay enough for their salvation. You know, Jesus didn't want a bit of any of that bread and fish left over to be wasted. And neither does he want his crucifixion to be wasted either. He wants us to share in his wealth. You know, there are many of you I know that list people each and every day that you pray for, perhaps in the morning or in the evening. And usually they are people that are going through some real difficulties in their lives. But we also have to confess, sometimes we really don't know what to pray for them. Sometimes we may end those prayers with feelings of despair. Maybe we've had that same type of prayer prayed over us also with the problems that we have. How often in recent times have we watched the news and we often think the same thing? We throw up our hands. What in the world is going on? What are all these things that are happening? And there's a lot of despair. My friends, when we do get depressed and hopeless, it's not God's fault. It's because we forget who we are praying to and what He can do and He has done for us. Don't forget who you're praying to and what He can do. You know, He was able to feed those 5,000 people that day with a few loaves of bread and fish. Our Lord can work through the most meager of things, maybe even us, to produce results that we never would have ever expected. And the fact that we are praying and we are desperate, it means that we are in the right spot for our Lord. It's a spot in which we can impress, He can impress upon us His power and miracles that can happen in our daily lives. When things are desperate and we are looking to Christ, then I say to you today, rejoice and give thanks, because there is nothing impossible for God. And the people of God responded with a loud and glorious Amen. And now let us give thanks to God of heaven, for His steadfast love endures forever. His precious name, we pray it. Amen.